Well, I think I've pointed out at least a time or two that when I was an undergraduate in Bible college, our Greek professor on my last semester of undergraduate Greek decided that rather than having a bunch of people doing different exegetical projects, we'd all do basically the same thing. And it came out of Revelation 7, and so we had to translate Revelation 7. And we had to answer the question, however we felt we wanted to, what's the multitude? And so I spent more time with this short chapter of Scripture than maybe any other text in my entire life. Certainly more than anything I've ever read outside of Scripture. And we sort of took it apart every way you possibly could and considered everything, and in the end came down to some fairly straightforward conclusions. And I've always avoided this passage of Scripture ever since, because I figured if I got started, I might never stop. Well, until you got up and started leaving, which you're of course more than welcome to do if I start getting too long or too uninteresting. But there's some very interesting things going on in this passage that connect quite nicely, I think, with the rest of our lectionary text, proving once again, and I'm sure they will now sleep better at night, that I think the Committee on Revised Common Lectionary know what they're doing. But at the same time, there's some odd things here that we don't really see at first, or at least I didn't. And as I'm sure you noticed from the hymns and obviously from our responsive reading, Psalm 23, we're back into this whole business of sheep and shepherds. Psalm 23, you know, being the a passage of Scripture using the sheep metaphor that has given comfort to millions and millions of people forever, it seems. But then why on earth would we come up with a sermon title that's yet another question? Are they all sheep? Well, I thought we settled that last week and settled it in other ways. So why would I even bring that up? Well, and it's because of the combination or the connection between our gospel reading and our reading in the Revelation of St. John. So we've got these two John passages. I'm not skipping over the Acts passage because it's hard, although it does have some tricky parts, like what exactly is going on with that resurrection of Dorcas. But it's these other two and their connection together that I want us to think a little bit about. And the reason why I want us to think a little bit about them is because even for those of us who have been in the faith for a long time, I think there's something we still struggle with, at least now and then. I know I do, and from talking to other people, it appears that I'm not unique in this area. And where it comes down, or where it comes from, or where the struggle comes from, is from John chapter 10, verse 27. And this is, of course, in the context of Jesus talking to the Jews. They've asked him point blank, "Are you the Messiah?" And he answers about as clearly as he possibly can and talks about how, you know, "I told you already, the miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you don't believe because you're not my sheep." And here we have verse 27. "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." Well, why would this be problematic at all? And it's because for anyone with an unusually tender conscience, they will tell you that they don't follow Jesus very well. And if you're in a particular frame of mind, you will look at yourself and realize, like every other human being in the history of the world, you don't follow Jesus as well as you would like. And on the basis of this very all-or-nothing statement, at least that's how we interpret it, it says, "My sheep listen to my voice, I know them and they follow me," will say, "Well, I obviously don't follow them all the time, so maybe I'm not a sheep." And it creates a sense of concern or worry that can really torment people. And sometimes it goes away and comes back, but it's one of those things that can be a real problem. That when we look at those times that we not when we've made a mistake, but when we've known perfectly well we were supposed to do this particular thing or not do this particular thing, and we just went ahead and didn't do it or did it, as the case might be. We're not talking about where you suddenly realize, you know, that you ran a stop sign that you didn't see. We're talking about willfully doing what you know is wrong. And we think of that and we go, well, I guess I'm not a sheep then. Well, I'd like to give us at least a bit of comfort if you need it, and if you don't, that's wonderful. But for those days, this may come up. And I would like us to think a little bit about this group of people that we see in Revelation in relationship to what Jesus talks about when he says, not just that my sheep listen to my voice, but he says, I give them eternal life and they can never perish, and no one can snatch them out of my hand. Let's remember that, no one can snatch them out of my hand. That's Jesus talking about his sheep, saying they're my sheep, and nobody can take them, ever. And then we look at Revelation. The larger picture of Revelation, we only read verse 9 to the end of the chapter, which it makes sense, because the first part, we just have this sort of a recitation of these groups of people. There's 144,000 from all the tribes of Israel, and there are lots of people who will try and turn this into sort of a detail-oriented, specific number. There's at least one denomination that says there are only 144,000 who will be saved, which unfortunately is just really bad interpretation. I mean, any time you run into a nice round number in Scripture or in anything written before about 1650, there's a good chance that it's a symbol. 144,000, anything that's divided by 12, anything divided by 40, and anything divided by 7 in Scripture are very numbers you should be very suspicious of. Because it's a symbolic number. 144,000 is a symbolic number of completion. Everyone who's supposed to be there is. And so for the reading we had, which picks up in verse 9, we have John, who's in this vision, interacting with an elder, and seeing this huge multitude that nobody can count, he hears them singing and crying out in loud voices. And one of these elders asks him, you know, these in white robes, who are they? John, not being an idiot, goes, well, I don't know, but you do. And obviously it's a rhetorical question of some purpose, a question asked, not so you will answer it, but so that the conversation, the discussion can continue on. And he says, and these are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And once again, we have people with a tender conscience will read this and say, well, I've never been through the great tribulation, so I guess I'm not a sheep again. Well, you are. We've spoken often about how we're sheep. And in most passages of Scripture, it's really obvious that we're sheep. These two, taken together, often make us worry. Or at least they can. We start thinking that, well, if we have to go through some tribulation to make it in, number one, I haven't, and number two, I'm pretty sure that if I go through a tribulation, I'm not going to do well. When we think of the tribulation, and when we think of particularly some really appalling movies and such that were made in the 70s when this was a big thing in Christendom, we get this idea that we probably wouldn't make it through. We'd just cave in. Hardly any of us are cut out to be martyrs, it seems. I know I'm not, or at least, well, there's only one way to prove it, and I'm not about to try that. I'm quite certain I'm not cut out to be a martyr. And so I look at this, and particularly when I was younger, I looked at this and said, well, then there's no hope for me. I'll never be led by that lamb as a shepherd of his own sheep. I'll never be in a position where God will wipe away every tear from my eyes. Are they all sheep? Am I a sheep? Well, when I look back at all the times I haven't done what I knew I was supposed to do, when I look back at all the willful sin I've committed, I'm not talking about making mistakes. I'm talking about knowing what I should do and just not doing it. I think, well, there's just no hope for me until I actually pay attention to what Jesus says when he says, my sheep listen to me. and realize what he's saying. Jesus is saying that my sheep listen to me. He's not saying that my sheep are perfect. When we go back to our John, he says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. He doesn't say they do it with perfect accuracy. Why did he choose sheep? Well, once again, he chose sheep because they're a perfect symbol for us, because they're not very good at this stuff. Yes, sheep follow, but they don't follow every time, or we wouldn't have the story of having to go and find one. If sheep followed, if sheep needed to hear something and then they were fine, you wouldn't need a shepherd as much as you'd need someone who could lay out the instructions for sheep once and then they'd be fine and they'd go on. And when you think about it, when you apply that to sheep, we think it's foolish, because it is. We're sheep. We always forget that part. Or we forget it when it's convenient for our current crisis to forget that part. Jesus calls us sheep because, yes, we listen. Yes, we follow. But we have to be reminded all the time that we need to listen, and we have to be helped to follow all the time. Jesus is so much more willing to put up with our frailties than we are. All through Scripture, all through the Gospels, what we see is Jesus over and over again telling people that every time you come back to me, I'm waiting for you. We have Jesus using metaphors for us that, while not flattering, because being equated with a sheep, as I said, is not flattering, but is really comforting. Because Jesus says, just like sheep need a shepherd every single day, because they don't remember from one day to the next where to get water, I'm here for you. I'm that shepherd. And so when we wonder, what is it that makes us a sheep? Well, Jesus makes it pretty clear. He says, you do not believe because you are not my sheep. Well, it's not that you're prevented. It's that by not believing, by choosing to reject the claims of Christ, you have declared that you're not a sheep. And Jesus will allow us to do that. And if we want to take a step out of being a sheep, if we want to say that we're not, he will allow us to do that. But once we decide we are a sheep, that's all it takes. Are they all sheep? Yes. Those who listen to Jesus are sheep, period. Not those who listen perfectly, not those who listen well, not even those who listen every single time. Those who listen to Jesus are sheep. If we're worried about things like our Revelation passage where, well, we've never gone through any great tribulation, well, I'm not so sure we haven't. I realize why the Revelation of St. John was written and when it was written, at a particular time to give comfort to a particular people going through a profound level of persecution. But you can make a pretty good case for saying that the tribulation never really stopped. And yes, it was much at a much higher pitch, a much hotter temperature of fever, if you will. But we live in a world where people die for no good reason whatsoever. Where people get sick, where bad things happen all the time. It's not perfect now. It was worse then, and it might be worse again. But not to trivialize the tribulation that's referenced here, but we are going through a bit of one ourselves every second of every day, where we live in a fallen world, where sometimes it looks like evil has complete reign. What more of a tribulation is there than that? Where we are wooed away from our listening to Jesus rather than forced away. Where we have to deal with the same temptations to deny what we believe, not to save our lives, but to save our reputation so we don't look foolish. To save our lifestyle so we can cut that ethical corner, so we can get that advantage. it's not the same as having somebody hold a weapon to your head and say, recant or die. It's just as effective. And we fight against that all the time, and we fight against it with tremendous success. I look at you people and say, you fight against those temptations. You listen to Jesus. You are sheep. His sheep. Those sheep that he won't let anybody pull out of his hand. We can get caught up, if we're not careful, in trying to figure out who's in and who's out. Who listens the best to be a real sheep and who doesn't. C.S. Lewis said, when we get to heaven, we're not going to be as surprised as much by those who aren't there as by those who are. And whether he's right or not, I think it helps us think that, yeah, we don't really get to decide who's there or not. And we don't know what listening looks like for everybody. But we know what it looks like for us, or at least we can. And that's what makes us sheep. And it sounds simplistic, and it's written off frequently because it's simplistic. And people will say, well, if you listen, it has to be more complicated than that, because that's too easy. Well, anybody who's tried to listen to Jesus knows it's not easy. But that's what he's asked for. I've read the Bible more than once, as I suspect all of you have. And most of the hoops we put up that we think we need to jump through to be in a relationship with God aren't in there. What do we have in there? We have things like love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Not have a nice car, or not have no car. Not be rich or not be poor. Love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says, you want to know who my sheep are? You want to know who my followers are? The people who listen to me. They're not people who ensure that they're in church every Sunday at the same time, no matter what. They're people who listen to him. That's how we know we're sheep. And that's how we know all of these people were sheep in Revelation. We don't have to know who they are or who they were. What we know is that Jesus says, these are my sheep. Nobody grabbed them out of my hand. Nobody can grab them out of my hand. And the way they got into my hand was by listening to me. Something that's really easy to do and really hard to do at the same time. But it's mostly really easy to do. Listening. That's all we need to do. Is listen. And we listen to Jesus. How do we listen to Jesus? Do we listen to Jesus to go out and start a new denomination? No. We listen to Jesus by when you're interacting with somebody on Facebook, and somebody on Facebook is saying that they're having a really bad day, and their job is driving them crazy, and even though they like their job, so they just don't know what to do, they're feeling all overwhelmed. And so you copy Psalm 91, which in our book of Psalms begins, whoever goes to the Most High for safety, whoever remains under the protection of the Almighty can say to the Lord, you are my defender and protector. You are my God, and you I trust. And it goes on and on and on. And you can copy and paste that and put it on their Facebook page. Because you listened, but that seemed to be what they needed. And a few minutes later, as happened to Heather, when she did this exact same thing to a friend, for a friend of hers, will say, that's exactly what I needed. This person who I know reasonably well, he's not sort of a big emotional kind of person, but said when he read that, it just made him cry because it was so perfect. That's exactly what he needed to hear. That's what listening is that when you have that little prod to do something, you do it. How much energy does it take to copy and paste something? Virtually none. What does it cost you in any meaningful sense? Nothing. What did it do for the recipient? It reshaped their world again to a world in which God is in control. It was a gift to him that probably nothing else could have equaled. Heather's listening. That's how we know we're sheep. And that's how we know that all these people, that we don't know their names, these thousands and thousands of people that John saw in this vision, that's how we know they're sheep. Not because they're special in a way that we're not. Not because they went through a tribulation created by Roman emperors in a way that we will never face, because they listened, just like we can. That's the way to be a sheep. Period. Listen. Amen.